You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
And welcome, let's go for coffee with Hannah and Abby.
Yeah, today we're going to be talking about some kind of icky topics. Mental health, specifically for us, anxiety and depression. So just a little bit of a warning, if it's something that maybe isn't going to be productive for you today to listen to, then absolutely fine.
Yeah,
take that time for yourself. More of a constructive conversation than a dwelling conversation. So hopefully that's still beneficial, even if you are having a bit of a average mental health day. But if it's not,
Totally
understand.
Cool. No
Take
worries.
The time for yourself. Okay, let's get into it, Hannah.
Yeah, boy.
Now, anxiety, depression.
Sorry, yes? I just said yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, God.
Oh, we're keeping that again. In. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Hannah, anxiety, depression, everyone has very different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very aware of that everyone has very different experiences in all facets of mental health. And a lot of people probably wouldn't even like label their mental health as having one specific thing. It's more just a series of emotions that sometimes mm-hmm. people struggle with.
Yeah.
But what if you had to like explain in a brief sentence
very brief.
What your mental health kind of what you would describe it as, what would you say?
I would say that I haven't ever had any clinically diagnosed mental yep. health issues, but that I was depressed in high school for probably about a 3-year period,
mm-hmm.
On and off, and then have struggled more with anxiety over the past 12 to 18 months.
Yeah.
That's my one sentence.
Little journey.
Yeah.
My one sentence, I am clinically diagnosed, but I didn't accept that diagnosis for a long, long time. Because of all the stigma and everything that surrounds it and the uncomfortableness of what is bad enough mental health to label it. And I am still every day struggling with anxiety, and sometimes it's really bad, sometimes I'm doing well, and yeah, it's a constant journey.
Nice, we're proud of you.
Thanks. AA meeting. We hear you.
We're here with you. Yeah. No.
That's honestly, that is what mental health feels like sometimes. It feels like you have to be so delicate.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And just like, we understand. We're so here for you. We love you.
Yeah. Which isn't a bad thing.
Oh no, all those sentiments, great. But like the manner in which they're delivered.
Yeah.
So delicate, as if it's like, you're going to break at any point.
Yeah, I guess it's because people are still really uncomfortable with it. And you just yeah. like, and fair enough, like sometimes myself,
I'm uncomfortable with
it. I'm like, I don't know whether you're, because I mean, everyone's so different. And it's like,
oh,
are
yeah.
you the kind of person that you need an invitation to like open up and that's going to be really helpful?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I just feel like I'm imposing on you and you're not ready to talk about things?
Yeah.
And I know that that's like, even as someone who has had mental health issues, like,
it's such an unclear line.
Oh my God, I don't even know.
It's such a messy topic. And I think that is where not only the stigma, but the confusion and the invalidating comes from, because we can clearly see a really bad case. Like a really, really bad case where you're really, really struggling. It's quite clear.
Yeah, someone's having a panic attack. You know, they're having a panic attack.
The mental health isn't doing the best. But what about the in-betweens? You know, like what about the day-to-day life of just like, maybe I'm not doing great and I deserve to do great?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because, I mean, I said before that I kind of had depression probably for like 3 years.
Mm.
And now I'd probably label that as dysthymia, which mm-hmm. is a depression which is long-term, but
yep.
also slightly milder. So it's like
yeah.
not the most severe, but it's just kind of persistent and ongoing. And I found myself in this place of being like not really accepting my emotions as being valid for what my life circumstance was. So I was like,
yeah,
looking at everything, and I'm like, family is supportive and I've got great friends and I'm doing well at school and I'm playing sport and like everything's great, but I'm just like not in it. I feel like I'm almost like, I remember having this thing of like, I just feel like I'm numb and just watching my life.
Like the dissociation kind of.
Yeah, like yeah. a bit. And I'm just like, I'm just don't
and
feel like
I'm
in it.
And you can't get any joy from it because you're not in it.
Totally. But I was just like so almost angry and upset at myself that I couldn't be grateful for the things that I had and I couldn't be happy with it. And I was like quite like ashamed of that and didn't want to be like, yo, like I think I'm depressed. Yeah, because
didn't want to bring it up because then you'd have to not only accept it, but it felt like you were just like pieing people.
Yeah. And I'm also like, I'm telling someone that I'm like super ungrateful as a person. And yeah. Like I'm a bad person. And I'm like, oh, but I just, I see it. I see what you're seeing, but I just don't feel it.
Yeah. Like I can't put to it. Like logic isn't, it doesn't go with mental health. Logic and mental health, not friends.
Not, well, yeah, no. Like, not friends.
Like, what you think is logical and what mental health wants to do, it doesn't work that way. Like, they don't work together. Do you think that, I know for me the idea of, like, functioning, because when you say, like, it was, like, mild depression and you were able to do all these things.
Yeah, I was pretty highly functioning, for sure.
Do you think that the conception of functioning is an issue in itself?
Because for me, it was a barrier for sure.
Mm.
I think for a lot of people as well, it goes, okay, this is when it presents itself as an issue in your life. When somebody else brings it up and it's like, hey, look, you know, or at work or whatever.
They're
like
stopping you from doing something.
You're not going out. You're not doing stuff. Like, what's wrong? It's an issue. Let's address it and deal with it. If you're just managing the symptoms really well and throwing in a lot of coping strategies that are just distractions that don't actually improve your well-being but just kind of mean that you can function pretty highly, it means you're unlikely to address it. You're unlikely to call it out for what it is, as depression or anxiety or whatever it is, and you're likely just to continue to bury it because it's quote unquote the easier thing to do.
See, I found for me, I always got told, if I ever, like, opened up enough to tell someone that I did have anxiety, it was very cautiously. It was like, oh, yeah, I mean, like, they said I had anxiety, but, like, you know.
Yeah.
And second to that would always be the statement of, oh, you handle it really well.
Like a compliment. Like, good on you, girl.
Yeah, like, good on you. You are functioning, and, like, I wouldn't say that I even noticed. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay. And that kind of reinforced to me, like, yeah, no, it's not that bad, is it? Because, like, no one else has noticed. And, like, you know, you feel shit, but you're doing fine.
Totally. And it's, again, it's kind of
and
this.
And it's not stopping you.
And then it kind of invalidates that actually you're like, oh, am I just kind of making this up? Or is it like.
That was my problem for so many years after being diagnosed, was like, I think I made it worse than it was. Like, I think I told them. Here's the thing, right? I wasn't trying to get diagnosed. This was for my pain syndrome. Like, it wasn't like I was talking about my mental health. They diagnosed me from just hearing what I was saying and being like, that's a problem. Because they were medical professionals that could recognize a problem without me having to, like, point it out to them.
Yeah.
But even at that point, I still was like, oh, no, I think they got the wrong end of the stick. Like, I don't think it's that bad, and I don't think it's valid for them to, like, you know, think I'm that bad.
Yeah, no, completely. I relate to the wrong end of the stick of just, like, I'm playing it up.
Yeah.
Because I feel like even with anxiety this year, I did, like, go to a doctor, and I was like, yeah, I'm just feeling like, you know, I can't really concentrate, and I'm, like, my brain is just 100 miles an hour.
Which,
and
like, pause. That's not a good thing. Like, that's not functioning.
No.
Like, even this though no one else can see it, that's not functioning.
Totally. Like, I love thinking about things, and I love just kind of engaging my brain, if you will. And I was just so annoyed because I'm like, my brain is filled up with things.
And you knew that your brain wasn't functioning right.
And I knew it, and I could feel it, and I was like, this is an issue. And even then, like, I went to them, and they're like, oh, you know, but you're kind of doing good. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I'm not, but
see, that's thanks. Like, and I've even had this conversation because, like, sometimes it gets, like, obviously sometimes my anxiety will get worse, sometimes it will be better, and sometimes my parents will see that and be like, well, like, do you need help? What help do you need? Like, is it stopping you from doing things? And I honestly can't sit there and go, oh, it's stopping me from doing these things that I want to do. Because, I mean, not only have I had it for so long that I've, like, started to just, like, deal with it.
Which, like, live with it.
Yeah.
Almost.
But also, I've had it for so long that I've adapted, and I don't know if it's stopping me from doing things. I know that it's an issue in my brain and it makes some things harder to do.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's stopping me, or if it's something, or if like the things that I'm not doing, I just don't want to do them.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I genuinely, totally. So then it feels like, oh no, I'm functioning. I'm fine.
I'm functioning. I'm just kind of playing it up, and this is
yeah.
just me. And I think, do you think that there is benefit in getting a diagnosis over not getting a diagnosis?
I think it's different for everyone.
I'd agree.
I think that sometimes, like some labels don't work for people, and some labels do work for people. And I think sometimes we have such a small idea of what a label is or what it means. Like with everything, with sexuality, with gender, with mental health, like all those labels. Even illness, it's like, oh, well, you have this illness, so this is your symptoms, so the other things can't be that. Or just understandings are so limited that sometimes those labels aren't beneficial because we don't accept everything that's happening.
Yeah. And I'd say as well, in addition, like with depression or anxiety, but you kind of don't have to wait until it's a crisis point and it's clinically diagnosable to be yeah. able to seek help.
Oh, God, and that's, yeah.
like a thing that I don't know. I know for me, I study psychology and I was very aware of where the line was for clinical. You have, you know, clinical
like intervention.
Or you have subclinical. And for me, I was like, oh, you know, like I'm not bad enough until I reach this line. And that's yeah. like, my life could have been improved a lot earlier if I had kind of just recognized that actually, I'm just not at where I would like to be.
Yeah.
It's almost like going to the physio. It's like you don't wait for a broken ankle. You go to the physio when it's like twingy so you can fix it and heal it and build it up so you don't break your ankle.
And it's easier to fix.
For sure. And you're not then left with a broken ankle and sitting in your bed for 6 weeks
yeah.
while it heals. Like yeah. it just makes no sense to
leave
wait
something.
For sure.
It's not marinating and making itself good.
It's not like marinating.
It's not meat. It yeah. doesn't, like, with time, it doesn't get tastier.
Yeah. I like that analogy,
like,
I think.
Like, you can't just leave it and be like, you'll be good.
Yeah, yeah. And with the label thing as well, like, for some people, I think it's quite, once you've got a label, that can be really binding and kind of go, oh, I can't do this because I have anxiety. Like, I yeah. can't go out and I can't do this because
you feel the need to prove to people that, like, you have it because you're worried that now that you have the label, if you show people that, like, you're doing fine in some aspects or some things are going well, some things aren't going well, that they'll take it back. Or, like, they'll yeah. be like, oh, you're not as bad anymore when you still, like, you're still struggling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, like, I think even though I haven't been diagnosed, when I kind of was like, actually, this wasn't just me.
No.
This wasn't, this was a thing. That was really quite almost liberating because I was like, actually, okay, that's something that I had and I can deal with mm-hmm. and I know how to approach and talk about, and it's got some language around it and some strategies and we can work through that. And that was really beneficial.
Well, I think that's an interesting point also, is that some people need to be validated in a label to work on it. Some people need that label in order to recognize it, that it's not just them and it's something, like, it's an illness that we need to work on. And some people don't like a label.
Yeah.
Because it really stunts them and they hate the idea of it, and they're actually more likely to work on it and, like, make it better without the label. So I think it's so personal and it's so different for everyone.
Yeah, it certainly varies person to person.
But I think that both ways are valid, and whether you have the label or not, it definitely doesn't mean that something in your mental health isn't going to plan, you know?
Yeah.
When people talk about this line, like, you're doing good.
Okay, yeah. No, this is almost a pet peeve of mine at this point. Because, we've all seen online.
Yeah.
It's okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
And I agree. Oh, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I agree.
Not doing, but the terminology.
Where is okay?
Because okay is such a, just a general, like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, I really thought I had my shit together.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was okay. I didn't think I was thriving. I didn't think that I was hashtag live, laugh, loving. No, wrong.
Yeah, that was it.
Live,
I mean, that was...
laugh, laughing?
No, I just live, said, laugh, loving.
Is it? No, live, love, laugh.
Live, love, fuck. Whatever it is, she wasn't doing it.
Yeah, I didn't think I was great. But I thought I was above the bar of okay.
And I think okay, this is what grinds my gears, is the thing of, like, why is the bar not great?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you deserve to be great?
Bro, like, going to the counselors for, like, life coaching,
yeah,
just to build some skills and tools and resilience, like, should, like, be normalized.
Okay isn't, it's not great. Like,
it's not where you should be. It's not, like,
you're not getting the most out of your life and you're not living it to the biggest, like, the most potential that you can if you're sitting at an okay bar.
Yeah. And for me, I think as well, it was like, I thought I had to wait until I got worse till I wasn't okay and I was at crisis,
like,
point.
That was the line.
And I was like, okay, at that point, like, I'm valid in seeking help.
Which is very hard because, again, what is okay?
And the beautiful thing about mental illness is that it really tricks you into thinking that you're not sick enough. And I think that's all the time in a lot of areas. You see that with anorexia, depression, blah, blah, blah. Every, like, across the board. That
our fear of not being valid enough in our concerns.
It could be worse. And I think that could be worse thing is so powerful, and it can be, like, powerful in a really helpful way, or it can be really detrimental. And I know for me, I was in the situation where I'm like, I've got it so good and yet I'm so unhappy with it. Like, it could be worse.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm a shit person because of it.
That's what I need to focus on.
Yeah. And it just, like, completely buried me in a hole, like, deeper. Like, it just did not help. I know day to day, like, it can be what people hold on to. Like, I'm okay, it could be worse, and that can get you through.
If it's in a positive sentiment, like, if it's in a sentiment of, like, you're going to be okay, you're going to do this, and you're encouraging yourself by saying it, then it's beneficial. If you're, like, if you're kind of almost shaming yourself by saying it, that's when it's a problem.
That's when it's, and it's also, like, it could be worse, but also, this is equally valid, and this isn't great, so totally you don't have to wait for it to be worse.
Yeah, like, if the weather looks like it's going to rain, right? It's not sunny. We don't sit there and go, oh, wow, amazing weather today. Like, couldn't be better.
Yeah.
Love
my,
the weather.
My house hasn't, like, flooded yet, so we're
love
great.
The weather.
Love it.
No, we sit there and go, oh, it could be better, actually. Like, I would prefer it to be this. Why don't, like, we do that with illness. We do that with sports. We do that with academics. We do that with the weather.
Yeah.
We can't do it with our own mental health.
For sure. And it's also one of those things that, don't say it to people.
That's, oh, no.
Oh, please, please. If you're listening and you're like, oh, man, I've got a friend that really, it could be worse. Don't tell them. Don't tell them.
It's not a beneficial statement.
Don't want to know about it.
Yeah, I mean, think about it in terms of your response. If you're in a really, if you were having, like, if a two-year-old was having a tantrum about a lolly and you told them it could be worse, is it going to fix anything in that moment?
Yeah, I'm sure we're preaching at the choir here, but it really gets under my skin. And yeah, back to the, is the bar, where's the bar for okay? I think it's, I mean, there is,
I think it's a scale rather than a bar.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's, everything's a scale. Everything's relative on a spectrum. And there is value in working through, I think, by yourself, some of your lower moments. And there can be a lot of growth that you find from that. And I know that I have, you know, you really get to know yourself when you don't like yourself that much day to day. But there is a point where you go, actually, this is compromising my relationships and where I'm at, and I don't actually have to do this by myself. And at that point, and that's often probably a lot earlier than we would like to believe.
And I think, honestly, a lot of my perceptions of mental health was just from media.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Where else was I supposed to learn about it? Like, our health class wasn't very informative. It was like, you could be unwell. Like, no one around me was verbally expressing their mental health. Actually, that's a lie. My aunt was verbally expressing her mental health with me, which is valuable because I was able to,
that's a really unique experience, probably.
Yeah, I was able to have someone that was, like, verbally out there proud, well, not proud, but, like,
but just openly,
yeah, like, this is a part of me, this is something I've had to deal with my whole life, and, like, I'm still dealing with it, I'm still coping with it, and just, like, making it normal to talk about it. But that was kind of it. That was all I had, and everyone else seemed to be fine. So my experience was like, oh my god, am I just, like, you know, like, a weak person?
And, like, overreacting, I think, with anxiety, it's kind of like you're unable to handle a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And it was like, am I, like, not being able to handle things because I'm a girl. You know, like the girl, like the girls, like they just cry about
just
things.
Just super sensitive.
And yeah, I was like, because I'm not sensitive, I'm just have anxiety.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with being sensitive, but I was like, I don't relate to that. Like, it's not like it's a sensitivity issue. I'm just, I can't handle this right now.
No, I totally get that. And
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, because, I mean, you see it through media, and there's a really, it's just such interesting, I think it's just so interesting, the dialogue that goes on online about mental health. You know, it's all like, live, laugh, love. Did I get it? I don't know.
I genuinely don't know. I just but know that okay love to comes be okay. first.
And you don't really see it day to day, and I think it's really hard often to relate to.
I have two very vivid memories. One was that at our school we had this thing called a last word, and it was basically every prefect got to speak in assembly.
Yeah.
Once, and give a little speech. I decided that if I got prefect, I decided I would do mine on having anxiety. Because I wanted to stand up there and be like, you all see me achieving and doing well, and you think that I'm doing really well, and actually I'm not. And just like, say it. And just be like, in front of everyone, I have it. I've been diagnosed. Whether you think I have it or not, I do have it.
Yeah.
I'm struggling. And if you're struggling,
that's totally,
I have that memory. And I have also, we were at Pawanui as a group. And I remember walking with Grace, our friend. And I told her, I was like, oh yeah, no, I have anxiety. I've been diagnosed with it. And she's like, really? I was like, yeah. And her first question was, what does it feel like?
Whoa.
Like, it wasn't like a, oh, okay. Like, well, she wasn't trying to make it better. She wasn't doing anything.
No.
She was just like interested in like, what's your experience with it? Like, she wasn't invalidating it. She just wanted to know what I was experiencing.
She, like, literally was validating your experience.
Yeah, because she, as a friend, wanted to know, like, what are you feeling?
And what are you going through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She couldn't help, and she knew that, but all she wanted to know was, like, well, what's happening?
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to Grace.
Yeah. Shout out to you, little crookie. But yeah, and those are my two vivid memories of, and that conversation honestly changed my mindset. Because it was like,
people, that removes so much shame around it.
Yeah, I was like, she didn't think that, oh no, you don't have it.
Yeah.
She believed me. She instantly believed me when I told her.
Kind of doesn't take the approach, which I think a lot of people who are is like, oh, you're broken and we can fix you as well. It's like the other side of the coin. It's like, just go for a walk. You can do some exercise, do some deep breathing.
Yeah, like, what do you do to fix it?
Like, yeah, I mean,
some things you can't fix all the time.
Yeah, sometimes it's just nice to be like, actually, this is where we're at.
Yeah, and I think as I was telling her, like, oh, this is, like, I have panic attacks sometimes, and, like, this is what they feel like, but most of the time it's just, like, my head's just really busy. And just like
really busy,
and sometimes I just can't talk to people because my head's too busy or something like that. And she was like, oh wow, like that sounds really horrible, like I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
And that's all that needed to be said, because it was like her just going, shit, that really sucks, like,
yeah,
fuck,
I empathize with you, I'm here with you, and support your experiences.
Yeah.
And
without saying it in like a little like soft delicate manner.
Yeah, no,
it was just like a shit, what does that as feel a friend like? I'm here for you, but also like, just, yeah, I recognize that that is horrible, and having someone recognize that what you're going through is not nice,
yeah,
for some weird reason validates it, because realistically, internally, you know how you're feeling and you should validate that yourself, but we seem to struggle with that.
Yeah, I think it's quite easy to kind of convince yourself that you're good and this is like, it's kind of made up a little bit, or like you're, again, like overinflating how bad it is, and it's actually like fine and you're managing it and you've like, you're on top of it. Deluded thinking, like,
oh yeah,
I don't,
but we're humans and our brains don't always work, and that's why we have mental illnesses.
God, yeah.
So you can't expect yourself to be doing
the most amazing stuff. So what has helped for you with your anxiety, like how do you manage it?
So it was an interesting thing. So, like we were talking about with this whole social media thing.
Yeah.
I always saw the extremes. It was like the people that had it really bad and then they figured it out and now they're amazing. Or the people that had it really bad and it didn't go so well.
Yeah.
And we were listening to a podcast the other day, Emma Chamberlain's, which really good. Go and
Anything
watch it.
Anything Goes
go
is what
to
it's
it.
Called.
Go and watch it. You can't watch it, but go and listen to it. And she was saying, like, because everyone was talking about her not doing well at the moment, and like, she's clearly not doing well, all this stuff. Not talking to her, talking at her, saying that online. And she just sat down and went, actually, I'm doing great right now, like the best I've been doing in years, but also, why am I not allowed to come online and be like, not doing well today? Like, why does everyone need to flip out about it and say I'm doing the worst that I could possibly do and all this stuff? Why can't we just normalize being like, yep, today's not the day?
I think it's a delicate balance, because it's like, you want to hear that people
are doing well.
And I think if you're not doing well, you want to be like, because I think there is value in being like, yo, I'm struggling too.
And I think the thing was, she wasn't like coming on and like talking about it. It was more just like, some days she'd be like in her bed.
Yeah, it was through the themes of like her content, because she's a YouTuber content creator. I think she's 20 years old. And she was just like, what do I do in my department, like apartment all day? And she's, you know, reading a book and then kind of lying in bed. And people are like, oh, she's crying for help.
Yeah.
And I think it's important as well as an audience, like, we kind of,
it's nice that people were worried about her, like, it wasn't in a place of like negativity, but like she said, it wasn't helpful for everyone to be like, oh my god, like, she's doing so badly, or because she was like, am I doing badly, like, and she started questioning herself. And I think that really brought in my mind to, like, one, the media I'm consuming surrounding mental health isn't the whole story, isn't the full picture, and isn't as beneficial as maybe talking to someone about it, getting real life experiences, and also just like checking in with myself about it and what my experience is. But then also things like accepting that I have mental health issues, like that in itself. Yeah,
because she covered it as well in her one, that people kind of, I think the more her response to being like people were outraged was more that people put TikToks out being like, she can't be, she's not allowed to be depressed because she's just ungrateful and she's got all these things and is successful and like,
and she was like, oh my god, like,
kind of attacking her for her mental illness. And I was just like, oof, that's
everything that you're worried about.
Yeah, oh my god, literally
like everything that but then so I kind of had to change my mindset of being like, oh no, people won't believe me, to being like, you know what, they don't know what's going on,
and it doesn't really matter.
Them not thinking I have it doesn't take it away from my brain. Actively like calling myself out and being like, nah, this is what's happening.
Yeah. And has that helped manage your like symptoms? And
I think that was the start.
Okay.
It definitely didn't, like, it doesn't alleviate anything.
No.
But it allowed me to address problems where I wasn't addressing them before.
Yeah.
Nowadays, things like going on a walk with a friend and doing things that make me feel human when my brain is a kerfuffle and I can't handle anything.
Kerfuffle, I love that word.
It's my favorite word, a little kerfuffle.
Yeah,
nice. Yeah, like doing things that make me feel human in states where I feel like I am my anxiety, taking that away and just feeling like a human for a second, not doing anything stressful, but doing something that just like, I can just take a breath for a second, that is valuable. The other thing I've started doing is just like sitting comfortably with it.
Yeah.
Like, because when you're in a bad way, in that moment, you can't fix it. It needs to. Like, you can't fix the damage of a storm while the storm's blowing through.
Yeah.
You wait for the storm to blow through and then you fix the damage.
I feel like that one relates so strongly to anxiety. It's like, you can't try and think your way out of it when you're just having all of the thoughts.
Your brain is, it's looped itself, it's gone. You need to sit with it, accept that it's happening, and just give yourself that time. You deserve that time, and that's for you, and just allow yourself that time.
Yeah. My experience with anxiety is pretty recently. So I'm very aware of how I kind of first started feeling with it.
Yeah.
And I remember like almost fighting the anxiety, because I'm just like, oh god,
because it's a very foreign feeling.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm in this flight or fight state, I'm like shaking and I don't know what to do, and I have so many things that I have to do right now that isn't being anxious and trying to like,
and logically you should be able to just be like,
yeah, almost like, trying to switch it off, think my way out of it. And it was like that just was fuel to the fire. Like, it just...
Oh, yeah.
More and more that I was just being wound up about the fact that I was anxious.
Yeah.
Was just making it worse. It meant that, like, I had an entire day where I was just the whole day anxious, mm-hmm. which is not fun, not pleasant, draining as heck.
Yeah, and you just want to sleep and you end up not being able to talk about it and not being able to do the things that are helpful.
Yeah, and so kind of that first step of being like, okay, well, like, I am being anxious and that's kind of mm-hmm. out of my control at the moment, so I'm just gonna, like, I have a little beanbag in the corner of my room that yeah, sits by my window.
Oh, it's such a luxury
and I
spot.
Just like sit there and I'm like, it's okay, like, I can just sit there and be anxious and yep. be cool about being
and
anxious.
And that is what that time, like, that is all that time needs to be.
Yeah, and I think just kind of letting go of the reins, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't do any equestrian things, but I think that's a saying.
That is a saying.
Okay, beautiful. And just kind of, that is the first step that kind of helps me to wind down. So I know, like, in a weird paradoxical way,
yeah.
like, when you stop trying to fight it and when you stop trying
and you
to
just let it in.
Make yourself unanxious, you acknowledge it. You're mm-hmm. like, I'm feeling a little chaotic.
I'm gonna stop.
And then you accept it, mm-hmm. acknowledge, accept, and then you kind of go through, if you've got any coping strategies yeah. or whatever,
yeah.
that once you're a little bit calmer and a little bit less anxious, that you can then work yeah. through, but exactly. not, like, force upon yourself.
No, because I think that's what I always struggle with, is when people are, like, they give you helpful techniques. Like, they give you, oh, like, the breathing and the talking about it and all this stuff, but not everything fits every situation.
Oh, yeah.
Like, talking about it, going for a walk, exercising, all that stuff, it's great in terms of, like, your day-to-day, trying to manage your mental health.
Agreed.
But if you're in a panic attack, or you're in one of those, like, bad days, you know, or, like, if you're in a really depressive day, you
yeah.
know, and it's, like, getting out of bed is
a challenge and a half.
Yeah, and, like, eating is a challenge and a half, and everything is a challenge and a half. Going to the gym to work out is not the fix.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No,
And it's so hard because then you're like, well, how do I fix it? Because that's what people tell me to fix it with.
Totally. Totally. No, I had this experience where I was complaining that I was feeling very anxious and didn't really know what to do about it. And people go, oh, like, you should just go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, cool. So you try that. And for me, I just found that any exercise where my, like, heart rate would increase,
because you don't have energy,
would just, like, trigger another, like, panic yeah. attack. Because it's almost, there's a weird thing that your body gets confused between what's anxiety and what's, like, just physical mm-hmm. adrenaline, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, because when you work out and your heart rate goes up and your breathing increases and you got that, like, it can feel really good and you're just like, yeah, I'm vibing.
Or the it can same, feel horrible.
The same thing happens with anxiety.
Yeah.
But you feel bad.
Yeah.
So as soon as you start, like, getting the, like, physiological symptoms of anxiety from a walk or whatever,
your brain gets
for
confused.
Me, I just, like, triggered bad time and mm-hmm. that didn't work for me. So it's like, some people, it might work. That's a coping strategy that didn't work for me. And you go, okay, I'm going to try something else. And there are yeah. so many, but you kind of just got to trial and error.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's like, I will breathe, because obviously breathing in itself, like, getting deep breaths in, and just, for me, breathing, the breathing technique is more having something to focus on.
Yeah, it's a point of focus. That's
yeah. Like, the
external.
Actual deep, I'm sure the deep breaths, like, physiologically are doing something for me, but most of it is just, like, my brain can't focus on anything else because I'm forcing it to focus on my breath, which I have struggled with things like that in terms of, like, meditation and stuff, because I'm just not very good at focusing my brain.
Yeah.
And
meditation, can I just input, like, meditation yeah. can, it's almost like reading a book.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of effort, and sometimes it's too high of a bar.
Or, like, I don't want to think about things, or I don't want to, like, have to.
You're already, like, exhausted. The mm-hmm. thought to, like, let's meditate and,
yeah.
like, really concentrate hard is just not it.
And I think, yeah. like, oftentimes I'll tell people, like, oh, meditation doesn't work for me. And they're like, oh, like, you're probably just not, like, trying it. And I'm like, no, like, I understand what you're saying. And realistically, if I really did put my mind to it and get into it and do it, it probably would have some benefit. But I don't want to.
Yeah.
And I'm allowed to say that I don't want to, and that that's not a coping strategy that I enjoy.
Yeah. And I think there's a confusion. There's almost, I'd like to point out two distinctions. So you've got the coping strategies for when you'll need to, like,
yeah.
deal with an anxiety stuff. And then you've got the coping strategies,
everyday
which kind
life.
Of everyday life when you've got more energy and you're having a good day, and it's kind of those buffers that you put in place to kind of keep you on track.
Yeah, and like keep a tab on yourself, keep mindfulness of yourself.
Yeah, and kind of make sure that your mental well-being is kind of managed and it's doing the best it can.
Which is why it makes sense, because if you are mindful, then you can be aware of the state that you're in and what you need to do to adapt, to fit it, to help it, so that you don't get into a super negative state.
Yeah. For me, for prevention, I guess, of anxiety, I have had to cut out coffee.
Yeah, same.
Oh my God, it's devastating.
And we love coffee.
It's funny because this podcast is Let's Go for Coffee, but Abby and I both exclusively drink chais.
I can't even drink matcha. That's how sad. Part of that is because I have stomach issues.
Oh, yeah, she's messed up.
I have a lot of issues, guys. But
anxiety, just because of the same thing of like the heart rate goes, and now I'm like, is this anxiety or is this just my body? And I can't really tell.
And it initiates the flight or flight.
For sure.
Fight or flight.
Fight or flight. Yeah. No, yeah. Totally. So I've cut out coffee. Mm-hmm. I struggled with sleep because it just like lying there when you're like, I need to sleep, because if I don't sleep, I'll be anxious tomorrow.
The sleep guilt. Oh, God. So strong.
Yeah.
And the stress about, oh my God, it's now 12 and I'm only going to get 7 hours of sleep, and now I'm going to...
The maths never help.
The
never
brain help. Never stops.
Yeah, so I take melatonin before I go to bed, and I don't know if it's placebo or not.
But as long as it works, we don't care.
I love it, so fuck off.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. So, I do that to kind of manage stuff. I'm pretty regular about exercising, and I think that is a really good coping strategy for me.
Yeah.
But it goes in waves of being like, is this problematic exercise, where it's like feeling compulsive and not an enjoyable experience, and then goes to being like, nah, I really want to go to the gym. Like, this is really fun and what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I think as long as
you're aware of it,
there's the awareness side of it and being like, is this actually helping or hindering my mental health, then I can moderate my exercise to kind of fit accordingly.
Yeah.
And I think those are the big ones that I've kind of for anxiety specifically.
Yeah. I guess for my everyday to day monitoring, cut out coffee.
Sad that was a big only.
One. And I think that's really helped. I get really tired. Like I have a chronic pain syndrome. I have a lot of digestive issues, and then I have anxiety. So my body takes a lot to function. It's not easy. So I don't have a lot of energy all the time. So for me, saying no, or like giving myself a couple hours to just lie on my bed, maybe watch some shitty TV and like do something that I enjoy so that I get that break, is so valuable, I found. Because when I don't do that, I crash and burn.
Yeah.
And like, oftentimes I will feel like I'm being lazy, or like I'm, you know, because it's like, oh, what benefit does this have for me? I'm just like not doing anything.
Yeah, we live in a very hyper productive society where it's like, what are you doing with your time right now? Is this the most efficient use of your time?
But realizing that doing it not for the whole day, if I do it for the whole day and I don't get any personal interaction and I don't feel like I've achieved something, then that also will create an anxious experience for me.
Yeah.
But knowing that I need a couple hours in my day where I don't talk to anyone, I just sit there and I have my alone time and I enjoy my shitty TV, is going to help me. And realizing that that's actually a beneficial thing, not a me being lazy thing.
Yeah, and like bigger picture, taking those little spaces means that you won't burn out and have like massive crashes in your mental health.
Yeah.
And that is the most efficient way that you can live your life.
Exactly.
But it's really hard to draw those boundaries.
Oh, God.
Because it feels... it's almost guilty. Like, I'm still terrible at quote-unquote relaxing. I don't find it relaxing. I find it stressful because I'm not doing what I think I should be doing. And that's been problematic in the past, and I acknowledge it.
It's still hard struggle to with change it. Your mindset, though.
Oh, God,
like, you can acknowledge something and not feel differently.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But that's fine.
Which is, like, half the struggle, really. Realistically.
Oh, my God. If it was just about acknowledging things, we'd be so sweet. Oh,
we'd be absolutely smashing it.
Yeah, especially with anxiety, when you just, like, overthink everything. And then it's just, like, you're overthinking your introspection. Yeah. And then, oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, the crazy. Other thing, I guess the other things for me were, like, walking. Because it's not too strenuous.
Yeah.
I like working out, but unfortunately my body generally doesn't cater to it. So I can't frequently work out. So if I made that a value of mine, I would disappoint myself regularly.
Yeah.
And I have recognized that, and I have changed my values based on that. But something like walking by myself or with a friend is just a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
It's like the most beneficial thing I have found for my mental health is walking.
Totally. As well, I think the walking, for me, agreed, but also for the fact that you have that support person with you.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you don't even have to talk about it.
Talking about human things is just as valuable as talking about your mental health.
Yeah. Because I think a lot when you're in the throes of it, it can just feel like your identity is your mental illness.
So having ability to have other conversation is beneficial. You don't have to help them with their mental health. You are helping by just hanging out with them.
100%. Also, just messaging someone to be like, hey, you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to reply. But I just need to like tell somebody else that I am like stressed out in my room. I feel sick. I don't know what's happening. And God.
The cheesy saying of a problem shared is a problem halved. I always hated it because I was like, well, you can't take my problem.
Legit.
But it's so true in the sense of knowing that you're not the only one sitting there thinking about it for some reason does alleviate a little bit of stress.
Yeah, and I think I've only really started doing that recently because I think I had for a really long time that kind of telling people about my shit was just really
inconvenient.
And just kind of like a bit of a drag.
Yeah.
You know?
Like it had moved away from the invalidation and more just like, I don't really want to inconvenience you in this time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like having, because you've reached out to me a couple times and I've had a couple like other friends who just like, hey, look, this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And as a friend, that's super validating for your friendship and really kind of, I don't know, I found it really powerful for me to be like, actually,
it feels like you're respected as a friend.
Your friendship is like valued highly, mm-hmm. That they're willing to disclose something to you and that your support is, yeah, valuable.
Mm.
And like, for me, I was like, actually, that really strengthened our relationship and our friendship and kind of, it has been the opposite of mm-hmm. what I thought reaching out would do.
Yeah. I think also the whole online, a lot of people are like promoting the whole asking people if they're okay. And I can get how that can be difficult because it's like, one, people don't always want to open up and you feel a bit like you're intruding. But why it's helpful is that if that person isn't doing well, for you to ask them enables them the space to know that you're in a space yourself to ask that. You're in a space yourself to receive the information and they're not burdening you.
Yeah.
Because not all the time are you going to be able to receive information and receive things that other people are struggling. Like sometimes you can't take that. You have your own things going on. Sometimes you're stressed, sometimes you're tired and it just like you don't have the energy for the conversation and that's totally valid as well because you have to look after yourself first.
For sure.
But that's why reaching out and being like, when you do have the energy and the time and you're like, actually like I, you know.
Hey, like I, yeah, yeah. Are you okay?
Being like, oh, are you okay? Like how's it going? And like having a conversation and giving them that time means that, and you shouldn't just do this to your friends that you know have mental health issues.
Oh yeah.
Like, at some point, everyone's going to have a shitty mental day.
Yeah. And I think when I was hella depressed in high school, I was for sure, and I knew it, the last person that people would think about for mental health because I used like social engagement and put all of my energy outwardly to be present for everyone else and to be, you know, the bubbly one.
So they never ever saw it.
Yeah, and for me that was like a coping strategy and a distraction from like me not feeling valued in myself and kind of being like, if I make this person like have a good day, then that's sufficient for me. Yeah, but I knew that I was actually not in a good place and that I was struggling. Yeah. And would I have necessarily opened up? I don't know, probably not.
But the attempt is still valuable.
It's still valuable, and I think even if I hadn't shared, it would have made me reflect and be like, actually,
that's
the real
true.
Me is valued and that it's not just like this
like
kind
of...
they
do care. They do want to know.
They do genuinely care. Mm. And that is sometimes just what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, mental health is a tricky one. And it's so tricky being a friend to it. It's so tricky just in general, whether you have something that you feel like you strongly have it, like anxiety, depression, bipolar, anything like that, or whether it's just like it's not amazing at the moment and like you don't think it's anything specific, but like it's just, it is struggling.
Yeah.
It's not about the line being at okay. It's about you feeling great. And if you're not feeling great, then that is something you need to address. That is a problem. Even if you're doing okay, it's not great. And it doesn't need a label. It doesn't need to be specific. It's okay to just like have something in your brain just not feel 100%.
Yeah.
And that's valuable in working on.
Yeah. It's like, I think a lot of us probably live at okay.
Yeah.
And we don't address it as an issue that needs to be fixed because we're quote unquote fine, which is really upsetting because it's like, imagine how cool the world would be if people were like,
imagine
actually,
if we were all happy.
I'm a priority and being 100% and feeling the best I can of myself is worth my time and my effort and my energy and my money. Like, this is a priority.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I could only dream of it.
Anyway, that's us for this episode.
I think that's us.
Yeah. That was, hopefully that was of some benefit. We really enjoyed having that conversation.
Yeah, I feel like that was super, it just reaffirms how much growth we've
done as people
and how much effort we've kind of put in. And
we couldn't have had this conversation in year 13 or year 12.
Oh my god, no way. I would have been in denial for sure.
We'll see you next episode when we talk about eating and eating disorders.
Woo!
We're gonna get into it.
It's gonna be excellent, I'm sure.
See you guys later.
See ya.
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.